Joe Crummy, and welcome to My Evil Thoughts. It's Tuesday, the 28th of March, 2017. Should have done a podcast for you yesterday. I'm not apologizing. I'm just going to give you a guilty with an explanation. I was invited to go see one of the most historic recording studios in Los Angeles yesterday, East-West Recording at 600 Sunset Boulevard. And I want to thank Blake Rogers, the assistant manager, for being so gracious and showing Bob Kay and me everything. You see the room where they recorded California Dreamin'. You see the room where the Beach Boys performed Pet Sounds and did all of that kind of stuff. You see the control board that Lady Gaga likes to use in Studio 3. And that's the board that the Beatles recorded the White Album through back in 1970 or whatever. And she likes the vintage sounds, so that's what Lady Gaga likes to use. Isn't that amazing? That's why I didn't do the podcast yesterday. So sue me. All right, let's get started. First of all, speaking of yesterday, Sanctuary Cities. I was watching Sean Spicer's spicy press conference yesterday. I did get a chance to do that. And before he gets started, it was almost like Saturday Night Live. He comes out and he goes, all right, I'm going to talk to you in just a second, but first, I've got a special guest. And I was like, wow, this is great. It was the Attorney General, Jeff Sessions, who took the podium yesterday and made a statement about Sanctuary Cities. And roughly, just to break it down, he said, look, you guys, if you have illegal aliens that you catch, and because in the course of your police duties, you arrest these people, we want the names. And by the way, we also control a fund of $4.5 billion every year that we funnel back to big cities like you. And I'm just putting you on notice that if you don't cooperate with us, we won't cooperate with you. And that's what he was talking about. And then, of course, the liberals hated that. But the reason I'm talking about sanctuary cities is I just got a kick out of the different mayors and what they said. You know, like, yeah, F you, Trump. That's roughly what they said. I don't want to be crude, and they certainly didn't say exactly that. But they're all saying, forget you. And the mayor of Boston, his was great, his response. Mayor of Boston, his name is Marty Walsh. I don't know much about him, but he's a sanctuary city guy. And this is what he said. He says, if people want to live here, they'll live here. All right? If people want to live here, they'll live here. They can use my office. They can use any office in this building. That's very, he's funny. I mean, does he even think about how stupid that is? They can use my office. If people want to live here, that means they can live here. Really, I like to see that walk up to the mayor's office, not get stopped by 50 cops, walk up and say, you know what, I want to live here, and I want to use your office. As a matter of fact, I've got a bunch of friends, and you know all the other offices here, too? We could use those offices, too, so, you know, welcome. I mean, the whole thing is so dumb on its face, and yet, since it's politics, they feel justified. It's great. That's Mayor Marty Walsh in Boston. That's got to be special. But it's the perfect analogy, though, isn't it, for liberals in the way they look at immigration? And if you listen to the mayor, you know, hey, if they want to live here, they're going to live here. I think he's implying some kind of powerlessness. You know, there's nothing we can do about it. Nothing to see here. Does Hawaii even bother worrying about it? Because there's, will you buy that premise right up front? There's nothing that can be done anyway. Oh, okay. Well, how about this reason then? That we're not, we don't deserve to judge people because we weren't here first either. How's that? Or my family came as immigrants, so you can too, and we, you know, whatever. That's their thinking. And of course, you know it's stupid because if you went to the mayor's office in Boston and said, hey, I want to use the office, see how far you get. So it's a perfect analogy that people do have walls. We do have separations. We have organizations. We have financial systems. We have cultures. We have these things, and they do matter. And it matters to the mayor of Boston. What he said is completely stupid. But I think it's because he thinks he's going deep in politics. You can get away with this stupidity. It's just so dumb. On the border today, Tuesday, Trump has announced that he is seeking $999 million for 62 miles of border wall. Some of it is in San Diego. Actually, two sections that I'm going to talk about are in San Diego, and another 14-mile section, I think, is elsewhere, and there's a levee problem somewhere along the Rio Grande, and they're going to spend money there, too, and that, of course, is the border, so they're going to be working out there. But there's a section of fence in San Diego they're going to replace because it's so open, and then there's another 14 miles of fence in San Diego they're going to build. And I'm thinking, what? You haven't sealed off San Diego? Just San Diego, you know, after 30 years. And apparently not so. So we have some work to do on border walls. I like CNN, though. You know, when they reported, it's not just that the you know, no money has come yet from Mexico. I think that's a fair point so far, and they should be hammering that. But they have to add in this thing. They like to editorialize when they talk about Trump. You know, I got a newsflash for you. CNN's biased, really. And they'll go, and Trump, you know, you can't build a wall on top of a mountain. It's so, and I'm thinking, God, how many times does Trump during the campaign have to say, I'm not building a wall on top of a mountain? But it doesn't matter, you know, because it's a good premise to keep on, you know, keep pushing, whatever. But that's why we love CNN, and that's why, you know, I have evil thoughts about them. All right, the news today, of course, is that the Russia investigation goes on, and that the former deputy attorney general, this would be Sally Yates, was going to be testifying in front of a House Intel Committee, and that's a big controversy now, whether she's going to, whether the White House wants her to or not. I can see why you wouldn't want that lady testifying. I mean, she's the one that stuck it in Trump's face right out of the chute when he said, how about my travel ban? And she goes, no, I can't support that. What a jerk. And so I can see why you wouldn't want that lady testifying about the kind of the hamburgers you like. I wouldn't. Whatever that lady's going to say isn't going to be good. She's biased. I don't care what you're talking about. I could care less. You know, this Russian thing really cracks me up, too. You know, as a general comment, I don't want to get too much into the weeds on the issue here about the chairman Nunes and when he got information and when did he share it with the president and who's doing what and all that kind of stuff. I'll let other people talk about that with you. You know, Devin Nunes from California is still running the House Intel Committee, and he went to the White House last week on a previous podcast I told you about it, said to the president, I found this kind of information and all this. Well, it's come out subsequent to our last podcast that the day before Nunes had been on White House grounds. Of course, those are big, and that also includes the Eisenhower Executive Building, where he went into a secure room and had seen this intel that the next day he brought to the president. And, all right, as long as we're in the weeds here. And what the Democrats are saying is, how come you went right to the president? How do I know you didn't get it from the president, and now you're making a big deal like you're giving it to the president, but he gave it to you? It's a big show, and you didn't tell us about it, yada, yada. This is all your typical right-left inside the Beltway politics. It gives me a headache. And it should give you one, too, because you don't need it. But the bottom line is, if they had anything, there's 2 points I want to make. If they had anything, you would have heard about it by now. This has been going on for a long time, number one. The other thing that I think is really funny about Democrats is they're so concerned about Trump and his Russia connections, whether it's Paul Manafort, whether it's Mike Flynn or any of these guys. But, you know, the Democrats have the same problem, but we just don't seem to talk about it, and it's crazy. You know, you've heard about John Podesta. You heard that he was running the Hillary Clinton campaign, and you heard the Russians hacked his emails. So you probably think, oh, here's this guy, John Podesta. He's just this guy, and he's working on behalf of Hillary. These evil Russians have hacked his email, and that's the extent of what you know about John Podesta, right? All right. Do you know what John Podesta did before he was working on Hillary Clinton's campaign? He was in the White House. It gets better. John Podesta was in the White House in 2014. Now, right, and then he resigns to work with Hillary. So, of course, there's no connections between the Obama White House, the Democrats, and the Hillary campaign. Yeah, there's no connections, you know. No, none whatsoever. Before Podesta was in the White House, he ran a company called the Juul Company. He was on the board, or he was a big shot, or it was his deal, or the Juul Company. Guess where they got their money? That's right. They got their money from Russian investors who get their money from Russian-controlled banks who are very close to Vladimir Putin and politics in Russia. Banks in Russia are regulated differently than they are in the United States, or closer to the government. Anyway, so John Podesta has all this Russian money tied up in this huge business. When he joins the White House in 2014, he says this. He says, oh, and the reason why he's making the money and has a Juul Corporation, by the way, is he is a political consultant, oddly enough, right? Doesn't that make sense? They're not always working for the Democrats in the United States. And the same thing goes for Paul Manafort. These are political operatives at the top of their game. Anyway, back to Podesta now. All right. So he's in the White House 2014 and says, I'm going to divest all of my money in this Juul Corporation. That's not cool because you got a Russian thing there and there could be a conflict of interest. So I'm going to divest all this money. Okay. So I've read he divested it all, right? Guess where? Into another company that he owns. What difference does it make? And that's the rap on John Podesta. And I don't see a lot of people rapping about it. Where is CNN's concern when it comes to John Podesta being dirty? I mean, how come it's only Trump's people? I get the sense that this is going to go on and on and on. And as long as they can keep it going on, they're going to keep it going on. As a matter of fact, did you see over the weekend you had Robert Reich coming out and doing one of those editorials in one of those fancy newspapers, probably the Washington Post or the New York Times, saying that Donald Trump's Supreme Court nominee, Mr. Gorsuch, should not be confirmed, should not be even voted on until we get to the bottom of the Russian thing, because that would mean the president's not legitimate. So according, should slow down now, to Robert Reich, it's in their best interest to keep the Russia thing going as long as they can, because they can then conclude, this is the thinking, that Trump really isn't the president, and that it's just a temporary nightmare for Democrats. So this Russian thing is going to get old. As far as I'm concerned, it's already beginning to get old. It's like, this has been going on now for quite some time. I could have had a baby, all right? Yeah, you could have had a baby. After they started the investigation, you could have had sex that night and your kid could be, sitting with you right now, enjoying the beautiful sunshine of Los Angeles. That's how long this has been going on. And that's assuming you're getting the truth when they really started to surveil Trump, when they really started to look at wires, when they really started to look at data, as if it just kind of started last July. I got a feeling if you had an investigation that started last July, it was probably on the table at least by May, probably before that. As a matter of fact, and I've said this in other podcasts, I would hope that they were looking very closely at Trump long before that. If this guy's going to be president and he's an international businessman, I would think you'd want to know where he's getting his money and where it's going. But we have to play this game like we don't know anything at all about it. But that's the way it goes when you're talking about, secret intelligence and secret rooms that are lined with lead when you look at information so you cannot be spied upon. Wow. But that's what it's about. Don't expect them to tell you, how they make sausages. In broadcasting, they have a saying that, you want to hear people making radio. You don't want to see them making radio, right? Because seeing it is like, oh, God. It's like, don't let them see you making the sausages. Just enjoy the final product. Right, and that's sort of the way it is with intelligence, Look, the final product is that you're secure, or reasonably so. Don't ask me. Don't make me be Jack Nicholson. You can't handle it. Don't put me in that position. You don't pay me enough to deal with that. But that's the podcast for today. Those are my evil thoughts. It's Joe Crummy. I'm on Facebook and Twitter. I want you to follow me there. I'm having a lot of fun on Twitter. Responding to some lefty celebrities are pretty funny. Getting upset about United Airlines. Sarah Silverman was really upset about United Airlines over the weekend that they had busted a couple of young ladies who were wearing, I guess, yoga pants, and they were flying for free on United as part of the United Employees Program. And the company said, you know what, you're representing the company, and we don't want you dressed like that. Where Sarah Silverman started tweeting, you were thinking that these women had been shot. And so I get a kick out of being on Twitter. Also, you follow me on Instagram as Crummy Joe. And once again, I want to thank Blake Rogers over at East West Studios on Sunset Boulevard for a beautiful tour of a very, very historical recording studio right here in Los Angeles. Anybody that's listened to pop music over the last, 50 years, from Lady Gaga back to the Beach Boys, you can go right into those walls. If those walls could talk, so it's really fun. And that's just right into the podcast yesterday. But, that's the way it goes. Joe Crummy, turn up the music.